Welcome to the Tech Webcast podcast, episode 411, recorded on the 21st of January 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iOS or Android app. You can also support us at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and our very special guest is Hannah Silver.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cat, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now. Holding brain hands.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good, good, good. Good for a lovely, fine, sunny Mansfield afternoon here. Beautiful day.
Stuff, mate. How's your week been?
Busy. I at work, I was filling in for our receptionist who's taking some annual leave this week, and so I was Miss Receptionist today for the last week, so... God help everybody who came in. No, it was all right. But, yeah, it was a busy week.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. And we are streaming live on Facebook.
Yeah, I was just going to say we'll have to watch our P's and Q's or something like that because Jacob is streaming live. I mean, for those of you, of course, in Australia, I mean, to be able to stream live and to run Skype calls and that is just like, you know, something out of a science fiction novel, but apparently, you know, Jacob in the US has got enough internet, he can probably run the whole of Australia off his internet connection.
Yeah, probably. He can probably run a cable from his...
Yeah, we could from his bedroom and just say, well, we'll all chip in for your internet bill and we'll Australia all chip in for Jacob's internet bill and he can just run the whole, you know, the whole of Australia from his bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Jacob, good to have you on the show, mate. How's your week been?
Oh, it's going good. It's doing good.
Wait, mate, what's been happening during the week?
Nothing much, but I'm just waiting for it to get a little cooler out here.
I thought it was winter.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's been in the 70s.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, they said by next Friday, what my app said, by next Friday,
yep.
It said it's going to be 66, and the low is going to be like 33.
Well, people say I keep living in the 70s, so I guess music-wise, but so you've got the 70s temperature-wise.
Yeah, I always thought Newberry, Florida doesn't get cold. I thought it was just stays hot or whatever it is. It's hot all the time.
I don't know what it is. It's probably because other weather elsewhere.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like Brian, he's in the heart of the cold. And plus, you do not want to be in Alaska.
No.
53.
No, I wouldn't like to be. And I know there was snowstorms in some parts of the US the other day, or am I imagining things? Or was it? I know Europe had some. That's right. Western Europe had some really bad storms because I saw a documentary where that was poor guy in the middle of Italy was trying to help, you know, animals that were going hungry because of the cold. And I was thinking, I don't think I could live there in winter.
Hmm. No, never. So, Jake, what else has been happening, mate? Any else?
I'm just keeping up with my life and keeping up with podcasting.
That's the way to go, mate. We've got Hannah Silver on. Welcome, Hannah.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me, you guys. I'm very pleased to be holding brain hands with the three of you today. Yeah. This is a very special thing.
Brain hands.
Thank you, Dylan Lewis.
Yes.
That would be kind of creepy, holding your brain in your hands.
I think even creepier is picturing our brains with their own little brain hands, and then our little brain hands are holding hands together, and all of our brains are linked, united as one brain hand brain.
Wow. I'm afraid if someone tried to do that, Paul would be like, I'm afraid I'm gonna squash this thing.
Yes, what if someone's brain hands had a particularly strong grip and crushed the hand of someone else's brain hand? I wonder what would be the effect on one's brain getting crushed in the brain hand.
Just don't let Donald Trump hear it, because you'll be saying that America has the greatest brain hands in the world and I'm going to make brain hands great again.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Speaking of which, a few months before the election happened, I was like, can everyone just shut up about Trump? And now, no one's ever going to shut up about Trump. But I have to say that I think I'm going to be turning to The Onion a lot over the coming years for comfort. I started with the, they had like a recap of the inauguration, which had some just wonderful captions on the screen. So if anybody's having trouble dealing, I highly recommend turning to The Onion for some comfort.
Or Saturday Night Live clips.
Yeah.
I can say one thing. If you're watching Onion, you better be eating an onion.
Really, Jacob? Why? So we can all stink together while we're all holding brain hands?
This has definitely gone off topic. Was it gone off topic, or it's definitely gone into sort of uncharted waters? Or
sorry. It's funny. How tech we're going to be today.
Sort of more Monty Python cast. It's sounding like it's today. It's one of those days.
Yeah, well, yes, it's been weird.
Surreal. Days. Yeah, really surreal.
Yes, very. Yeah, we were discussing before what happened in Melbourne yesterday. In case people don't know, a lunatic, which is not really an overstatement, decided to go nuts with his car in the city and drove onto the footpath and has killed four people and sent 20 to hospital. Are there any updates today? Do you guys know?
On the radio this morning, yeah, there were still some that were in a critical condition. Some had been released that were not as badly injured. But, yeah, there's still quite a few in hospital, and some of them, unfortunately, are still not in a very good way. I think that was, I think about an hour ago I heard that on the radio.
Okay.
So, yes, it's not good. Yeah,
reeling from that.
What's your view on that, Darryl? What do you think?
Sorry,
what's your view on that? What happened yesterday?
It's hard. I mean, at the start, you can't sort of fathom it, because you can't think, how could anyone deliberately say, well, I'm going to, you know, drive up on footpaths and knock people down, particularly is there a number of children involved. And I guess it'll be when, in the weeks to come, when they start, you know, court cases and they start working out, you know, what was behind it all, maybe you get a bit more of an idea. But I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to sort of really fathom it and understand it. I mean, and because most of us, it'd be the last thought that you'd ever have, that if you're in a vehicle, well, you're just going to jump the curb and, you know, and start knocking people down. It just goes beyond my brain hands thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I agree. It's just disgusting what he did, and yeah.
I got to add on.
Go ahead, Jake.
Just don't let those brain hands start bitch slapping people.
I tell you what, considering this is a tech webcast, one of the first things we did last night when we found out about it and the guy's name was released. So, by the way, this guy, the backstory in case you don't know, his name is Demetrius Gargasoulis. So, of course, the first thing I did was go and look him up on Facebook, and it seems many other people have gone and done the same thing, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. But basically the short story is that allegedly he got into a fight with his brother at 2 a.m. the night before and then somehow kidnapped a woman, and then she escaped. And then just ended up in a fit of what would either be rage or just challenging. He was doing donuts in the most busiest, arguably the most busiest intersection in Melbourne, which is the corner of Swanston Street and Flinders Street. Like easily during a busy day, during business hours or on the weekend, there's easily 100 people crossing that intersection every time the light changes. And anyway, so I got on Facebook and I looked up Demetrius Gargasoulis, who, so the end of the story is that it looks like he's suffering from mental illness and also perhaps drug abuse. And so he has some public posts on his Facebook page. And so the most recent one he posted on the 1st of January, and his post is "Illuminati are a whole bunch of dogs, I found out." And since last night, there's nearly 4,000 comments on this post now, where people have just heard his name on the news, jumped on, and just leaving horrible, horrible comments. It's got 350 reactions, like likes or angry or laughing, and it's got 266 shares, where people are shaming him and naming him and just saying horrible things to him. So I think it's very interesting that the time that we are living in, where someone can be named in the media and then we can all just jump at that person on their social media. I chose not to leave a comment on his post because first of all, doubt that he will read every single comment. Second of all, I think that since he is suffering from some sort of mental illness, there is a really good chance that he would look at those numbers and go, 4,000 comments? Wow, that's awesome. I'm famous. And I don't want to contribute to that because, I mean, that's a normal thing that we know. Like when people are deranged and become serial killers, some of the factor as to why they would like to do it is because they want the fame. I don't know. I've been thinking about that.
What's your view on that, Hannah? What did you think of what happened yesterday?
One of my initial thoughts last night was another tech-related thing we have going on in, I don't know if it's actually if it's Victoria or Australia, but our social welfare, Centrelink, has a malfunctioning system that has been sending out debt recovery threat letters to people willy-nilly, where supposedly, I think it's something like, I'm making up a statistic, but I won't try to make up a statistic, a whole lot of people are receiving these debt collection threat notices when they shouldn't be. And the government's reaction has just been, oh, no, sorry, not doing anything about it. The system is working fine and you should call this Lifeline phone number if you think you're going to kill yourself, which has been a horrible and disgusting reaction from our government. My initial thought was, last night when I found out about it, it would be pretty crazy if this guy, Demetrius Gargasoulis, who went crazy, happened to be one of those people who got a debt threat notice from Centrelink. But that is just me wondering, because I thought if that would be the case, this would totally blow this whole thing wide open with Centrelink. As it is, a whistleblower has already come forward and spoken to the organisation GetUp, and also The Guardian printed an article about allegedly Centrelink, this program that's spewing out these notices incorrectly, is doing so deliberately, has been programmed to do so, and so Centrelink workers have been deliberately told, do not try to fix anything. So anyway, that's just me, again, speculating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, let's talk about the game that you've been – you did a voiceover. Yeah.
Yes, let's speak about something more cheerful, shall we?
go ahead. Jacob, what are you going to say?
I said nothing deadly.
Nothing deadly. No, yeah. Okay, so this is something that's kind of exciting. So a couple of weeks ago, I was asked to do a voiceover session. My friend Josh Abrahams runs a studio called Samplify in Melbourne, and together with David Carboni, and they are doing the sound for a new game that's going to be out in a few months. They're looking at either March or April. The game is called Ticket to Earth, and it's developed by the company Robot Circus, and it looks really good. If you want to look up to see what Ticket to Earth looks like, if you just Google it, you'll find it. It'll be out on mobile, iOS, Android, but I think they're also developing it for PC. I'm not sure if they're developing it for Mac as well. It's a combination of like tactics and fighting, and it's a puzzle, and you collect attack strength and special abilities. You have a character, you choose a character, and then you fight with that character representing you. So I went in and did the voice effects for one of the characters, who's called Malady, and actually it was funny because the guys who were recording, I was working with David and their young, I don't know what to call him, assistant or apprentice, James. They weren't sure if it was pronounced Malady or Malady, but I'm pretty sure it's Malady. she's one of the evil characters, and she's a bit sick in the head, and a bit crazy, and her morals are a little bit skewed. So I had to do sound effects for when my character was taking damage, and also like exerting effort, like when I was, you know, doing a punch, and also for dying, and also for when, like, oh, yes, you've picked me, cool. And so, yeah, noises like that. And the funny thing was, I've never done voiceover work like that. It was my friend Josh suggested me to David, and he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of Hannah. Okay, yeah, let's give her a shot. And I had no idea what was going to happen until, you know, they were directing me. David and James were directing me, you know, make noises like huh, and stuff like that. So I was like, okay. And then they went, okay, rolling into the microphone and just made some noises. And they were like, wow, that was really good. I didn't know you could do that. And I'm like, I didn't know I could do that either. So that worked out very well.
Oi.
Let's hear the voice then, Hannah. Let's hear the voice.
Okay, so like if I was doing some punches, like that. Yeah. I had some fun getting into the thing. Actually, you know, and it was tricky when taking damage was tricky because I've never been in a fist fight before. So I've been winded in the stomach before, but, you know, maybe like when I was a kid and playing around with my friends or my brother. But so I had to imagine what it would feel like if someone was actually punching me in the gut and just being like, ah!
Or you could be like, ooh!
Yeah, I had to, dying noises were the hardest. It's hard to make a dying. You guys tried making it a dying noise.
Yes, without it sounding like over the top, or you know, it would be hard. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It gives you a new appreciation of voice acting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you see, actually, when you have great when you have great games like and the voice acting is fantastic, it just lifts the whole game to another level.
Yeah. I love watching videos of actors doing like voice recording for cartoons. It's very strange. Seeing a person and having that sound come out of their mouth. Actually, on that topic, have you guys seen 6 Days to Air, the making of South Park?
Oh, I can't remember. I may have.
I recommend it's a documentary about how South Park is made. Every episode is made in 6 days. It's unbelievable. It wasn't always like that, but in recent years, since they have such a massive production team, that's what they do. Anyway, I didn't know until I watched this that when Matt and Trey do the voices for the children, they just speak normally and then they use audio recording software afterwards to raise the pitch of the voices. So you see them doing like Carl, what are the kids' names? I've forgotten. Kenny and Cartman and Stan and Kyle. There we go. And they just speak, the guys, just these adult men speaking normally and saying these lines of these fourth grade boys. And then later you hear how the pitch gets raised and it's quite surreal.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, everyone, we've all grown up watching South Park and everyone imitates Cartman's voice by trying to, just like what you did, try and actually imitate the sound of it. But that's not what the actual voice actors do. They just speak normally.
Jacob, don't you have some good voice-changing software on your computer?
I don't have it installed anymore.
Oh, you don't know.
You can even with Audacity that you can actually once you've recorded something, you can fiddle around with the pitch, and so yeah, you can record something in like I say, my voice is fairly deep, so you can record something naturally, and then you just can wind the pitch up on the recording, and after you've done it, you can get it to sound like chipmunks, and you can get it to sound really, really high pitched if you want, or vice versa. You can, if you've got a voice that's fairly high pitched and you want to sound like, you know, someone deep, you can actually wind the pitch down.
Yeah, well, these days we've got that on Snapchat. We've got it straight away in our hands. Which is awesome. I love Snapchat, but I've been moving a bit more to Instagram. But no one actually, it's been interesting. Have you been trying Facebook Messenger's version of My Day, I think they're calling it.
That's it, My Day, yeah.
My Day. Yeah, have you been experimenting with that?
No, I haven't, no. Have you? I haven't tried it out. Anna?
Yeah, yeah. They're trying very hard to compete with Snapchat. So far, like they've got the, you know, like you can have a mask attached to your face, and you can do this if you do video chat through Facebook Messenger as well.
Actually, no, I have. Jacob, remember the other, a while back we did that face chat thing, remember?
Yes.
With the different filters, yeah. I have tried it, yeah. That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember you saying one of them looked like Steve Klingon's brother.
Who's that?
Don't know.
Whatever, looked like someone's brother, okay.
Rob, I don't know who you meant by that, Jacob.
That's what you said.
I didn't say that. I think you said that.
Because I had the mustache and the correct glasses.
I said that you look like Steve with that filter on.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll have to edit that out now before Steve hears it.
Yeah, I'm glad we cleared that up. That was super important. But yeah, so far, the Facebook Messenger, like masks and stuff, I don't know, it seems a little daggy. The Snapchat filters are amazing. I think so far no one's rivaling it. The Facebook Messenger masks, to me, really remind me of the masks that we were using in Google Plus Hangouts about 5 years ago.
Oh, I remember those, yes.
Yeah, they were really good fun, but it was Google, and and it was 5 years ago. So, yeah, I think Snapchat's winning so far, but I don't have that many followers on Snapchat. I've got more on Instagram. And so far, every day when I check Facebook Messenger, the most I will have is 3 friends posting to my day. So I guess it's a feature people haven't really picked up on yet. But it's funny how everyone's copied Snapchat's story. You've got your Instagram story, yep. And you've got your Messenger story. Is there anybody else? What else? Are there any other platforms that have been copying this? I can't think of any.
There was one other app. I can't remember the name of it. There was one app. I can't remember the name. Something party, house party or something. Something like that.
Oh, really?
It was a video chat app, and it looked pretty good.
Okay.
I guess it'll be if Facebook might be a bit it might be clunky at the moment, but if they throw some resources at it, and if Mark Zuckerberg says I really want this to be a thing, because they've got such a huge user base that they could overtake Snapchat if they really make the effort to
they try. It kind of reminds me of that episode from Silicon Valley, where I think it might have been in the most recent season, where the guy gets fired from being CEO, the main guy, whose name I forget, and he's looking for other job opportunities, and he's offered this amazing job at this amazing company, and the thing that they want him to be in charge of is, like, it's a video chat company, and they want him to make moustaches that attach to people's faces masks. God. And he's like, is this what my life is going to be now? I'm just going to make moustaches for video chat.
I can imagine Facebook doing that with, it'll be the in, it, they'd be giving that to the interns. You know, the intern would be coming to Facebook, wow, I'm going to be working for Facebook. And they come and say, guess what you're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks? You're going to be making moustaches. Put that on your resume.
So, Hannah, talking of vinyl, have you been buying any vinyl records lately?
Yes. In fact, I just purchased myself a brand new stylus. I'm just edging into the DJ world, which is kind of fun. I don't know yet. I've sort of been dipping my toes. I filled in for my partner at Riverland in Melbourne a few weeks ago. Riverland is that bar that sits on the Yarra close to Swanston Street. So I did a Friday night gig there, and that was heaps of fun. And now my friend has asked me to DJ at his birthday party, so I bought myself a new stylus and an Autophone, one of those ones that it reminds me of a jet plane, the way these cartridges look. It looks very, very sleek, and it happens to be bright green as well, the one that I bought, which I think looks a little garish, but whatever. And I try not to spend I know that if I walk into a record store, I'm gonna spend money, so I try not to walk into record stores. But my favorites, Licorice Pie is always amazing in Pran, and there's also one on Glenfury Road, which I have forgotten the name of now, in Glenfury Road in Malvern.
Oh, I know the one. Yes, I know the one. I actually bought something off them the other day. What's it called? Jake, what was it called? I showed you the other day.
We'll have to Google it. But in any case, it's a great store, and I like the man that runs that shop.
Oh, what's his name? What's his name, that guy? What's his name?
I don't know.
Peter or someone? Peter? I don't know. I can't remember his name.
I'm muted. It's called Quality Records. There you go.
Okay, that's it. Quality Records.
Cool.
That must be a different shop then to the one I bought from, because, that's a good shop, that shop.
Yeah.
In Melbourne,
shops like Licorice Pie and also Northside Records, who I know you've had Chris Gill on Tech Webcast, is that right?
Yes, we have Chris on. Yep. He's awesome.
And so they're examples of shops that they will go overseas specifically, and they will source records to sell.
Oh yeah, you need to check out Dutch Vinyl too in Abbotsford.
Abbotsford, oh, that's far away from me. Actually, you know how it's really terrible when you remember something and you're like, guys, you got to know this thing, but I can't remember what it's called.
Welcome to my life.
In the city, it's not actually a record store, but it's a store that sells records, and it's an antique store. Maybe it's called like Lost and Found. I'll try and Google it. I'll look for it while we're talking, and I'll let you know afterwards. And you can find some rare records in there.
Talking of next week's show, Darryl, we have got Matt from Vinyl Revival on. He runs a shop in Fitzroy in Brunswick Street. It's a record shop.
Oh, cool.
And sells turntables and that sort of stuff. So he's said yes, he wants to be on next week.
Excellent. Excellent.
That's going to be an awesome show next week. Can't wait to speak to Matt. And, have you been to that shop, Hannah? Do you go to Fitzroy much?
Not really. I live south side, so I kind of tend
to... That's too far. Okay. Jacob, you've been there. What do you think of the shopping? You've been around a few record shops in Melbourne, which I've showed you around. What do you think of them?
I love them.
Yeah, well, you don't get to see it, do you?
No. I get the help from you.
Exactly.
And Brad, I also help you pick out some good oldies music.
Exactly. And I've actually bought that one off Disc Dogs just before, and I will be sending it your way, Jacob.
Yay!
That was a surprise, by the way, but anyway. that's the next week's show, Darryl. You looking cool. forward to it, mate?
Yeah, it'll be good. It's this sort of, ongoing, was it resurrection of vinyl?
I don't know.
Hey, restoration.
I ask them, they say yes. So, if they want to be on, they can be on.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. As someone who's old enough to remember when, vinyl, there was only vinyl, as I've said often, and now, I thought it had gone, never to return, with, Betamax videos and...
Even cassette tapes are back now. I actually bought 5 cassette tapes the other day, actually, from... Vinyl Space, and they're pretty cool.
Now
I've got vinyl sit next to me.
Buy some blank tapes and make copies of your favorite, if you've got some favorite stuff on tape, because if you just keep playing it and playing it and playing on tape, one day you'll put it in your tape deck and it'll be wound around the spool or something like that, because they do stretch over time. And so we used to, in the old days, we used to buy packs of the old blank tapes, and we'd copy out, not so much we were copying it because we were breaching copyright, we would copy it onto blanks and we would just play the blank tape and keep the original tape stored away so that you could, you didn't lose it. But then it didn't get worn through the process of playing it, particularly if it's your favourite tracks.
When George Michael passed away, Rage on ABC music program did a George Michael marathon, and I was remembering all these songs that I used to love when I was younger, and some of them I could remember all of the lyrics to, and it surprised me, and I was trying to remember, how do I know this? Did I just listen to it on the radio? Because I used to listen to Double TFM all the time. I was trying to think, I was raised in a family where we always had a computer and we got technology pretty early, and I was born in the early 80s, and a CD burner pretty early, and we got the internet pretty early, and so we were downloading music illegally through Napster. Napster was the first one, or LimeWire, and before it was such a big deal, I never download music illegally anymore. I always pay for it. But back then it wasn't such a big deal, and we didn't understand what was going to happen to the music industry. And so I used to make mixed CDs, And so there I am singing all the songs to George Michael, and I'm thinking about all of my mixed CDs that I made as a teenager, and I'm thinking, I don't think there was any George Michael on here. And then I suddenly realized, this was before CDs, and I must have taped it off the radio on one of my mixtapes. So I'm glad. I'm actually, because I'm young Gen Y, I'm actually part of a very unique generational group who basically people who were born 82, 83, 84 sort of time.
Stop it, all you young people. I think what I was starting work in 81, and I was starting work and I'm going, oh my God.
Well, so this age group of people born in those years is part of a very unique group where we went to high school both with and without the internet. So my year level got the internet basically in year 9. We had it, we were chatting, but year 7 and year 8, there was no internet. Or there just wasn't much to do on it anyway. Certainly I wasn't chatting with my friends every night. So I feel special.
Well, that was like going back to my generation. Yeah, we certainly the internet wasn't around when we were at school, but just as I was leaving school, I think it was 1980, the first one of the early Apple computers came out, and we didn't have it. There was no computers at school, but they bought it up from one of the other high schools, as I call in those days, you know, regional high schools, and they sat it in the classroom, and it was running these genetics, biology, and genetic program. We weren't allowed to touch it, mind you, or actually use it, but we sat and we worshipped this, and this was going to be the future, you know, but we weren't allowed to touch it yet because it was the only one in the whole region or something, and it was being shuttled around to each school, and this is what the computer is, you know, and we went, ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, when you consider, yeah, the previous computers were all, you know, I mean, this was a desktop computer, and I mean, they're all mainframes and you know, spinning tapes and take a whole room to put, you know, they'd fill a room up. But yeah, we didn't have the internet. But as I say, with vinyl for us was like, that was what vinyl was. There was no other. And then the cassettes came out and we thought, great, you know, we can put tapes in. And when we go cruising in our cars, we can have the music thumping out of the subwoofer speakers in the back of the car and all the rest of it. And that was the main thing. I mean, the quality, the audio quality, a lot of it, that's why people didn't worry so much about piracy, because basically the audio quality of mixtapes was crap because you were copying it off the radio and all these other sources. And so no artist was going to go, oh, my God, you've copied my music, because they'd listen to that and go, really? You play that?
And look at us now, listening to MP3s. Yay.
Yeah, on an MP3s, it was always because if you did want to actually copy a track or you wanted to send it to someone, the main reason the MP3s are good is because you could compress.
Yeah,
and we had dial-up internet, and you know, like a 5 megabyte MP3 might take an hour to send to. And so we use our international relay chat rooms, and we say, I've got this MP3, and I've got, okay, I'll just set it going and I'll come back in an hour and you'll have it, you know, like, and that was the main thing. It was the fact of, but then people would have to compress them really heavily for you to be able to get the copy, and the copies were just crap when you consider what we've got today.
Yeah. Not long ago I read a post where so basically to compress MP3s, a whole lot of information, sound information, is removed from the file. And someone did something of a social experiment, if you will, where they made MP3s and then rather than going, okay, here's your finished product, creating a second file out of all of the information that had been removed from the initial large music file, so that you could hear everything that goes missing when you change a WAV file or a large music file into a compressed MP3. And it's astonishing how much you hear in that sound that has been removed. I'm sure that's something that's Googleable if anybody is interested to hear that. The article will be called something like Guy Makes MP3 Out of All Information That Is Removed from MP3 Compression Process or something like that. It's worth a listen.
I'll have to look that up because, right. it is. I mean, MP3s, I mean, we're using, you know, podcasting MP3s as the standard, but it's not as bad because you're generally not playing, well, you're not playing music on an MP3, on a podcast, unless it's a music podcast and you've got, you know, it's your own music, so it doesn't matter as much. But, yeah, I can remember some music. And then you'd listen to it on MP3 and then you go, oh, yeah, and then you'd actually get a proper recording of it and play it and go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Whenever I have a few records where I also have it on either CD or MP3, and then every time I can be bothered to put a record on and listen to it, I'm always just thrown by how beautiful and how warm the vinyl is in comparison to MP3. I find that I can ignore a lot of, like, often I'll be listening to MP3s and then all of a sudden I'll just notice. For me, I can always hear how crappy MP3s are in the hi-hats of the drums. You can always just hear how tinny it is. And I'll be listening happily and then all of a sudden I'll just be like, oh, my God, those hi-hats sound terrible. What am I doing? Why am I listening to this? And then I just make myself just get distracted and think out about it. But, yeah.
It's a bit like that when you go to, you listen to, say, a recording of a symphony orchestra and as good as a good, and then you actually hear a live version of a symphony orchestra and you just sit there and your eyes bulge out of your head and you go, oh, my,
Absolutely, yeah. There's nothing like having all those vibrations just get sent directly through your body as opposed to from the sound system, yeah.
Or it's like a big Will's pipe organ.
How many do you own records do you have?
God, I haven't counted. I don't even know how to estimate. Let's say I've got 200. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's that's probably a fairly accurate number, yeah. Counting my 45s, I've got at least 50 45s as well.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. And what sort of turntable do you have?
I've got this old Newmark that I bought from a shop that doesn't exist anymore now on Commercial Road, Paran. I forgot, what was it called? Was it DMC Records? And so it was about, let's say, 12 years ago. Something like that. And I decided, you know, the only records I had before 12 years ago were the records I listened to as a child. I listened, my children's records that I listened to up until about the age of 5 or 6. And then I had my own tape player in my bedroom. So, whereas the record player was in a lounge room. So, yeah, about 12 years ago, I decided, I want a record player because I was hearing people speak about how lovely records sounded. So I went to, I'm pretty sure it was DMC Records, and I was looking at either spending about $300 on this Newmark or maybe twice as much for a Technics turntable. Right. And the guy was advising me. He's like, look, if you spend the extra money on the Technics, it'll last you a lifetime. But if you get a Newmark, it'll only last you 3 or 4 years. Anyway, it's 12 years later and the thing's still going strong and it's wonderful and I like it. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
Good to hear. What about stereo? Do you plug it? How do you play it? Through your stereo or just through your old?
Yeah, I just plug in through my stereo. I've got a decent hi-fi stereo system with a subwoofer, and you know it's not amazing but it's pretty good and I'm happy with it.
Good stuff. Go ahead, Jacob, what are you gonna say?
Nothing really.
Okay, well, any more questions for Hannah before we wrap the podcast up?
I was just saying goody goody.
All right, where can I hold it?
Goody goody. That, hey, Jacob, that should be on is that should be your catchphrase. Goody goody. That's great. I like it. Let's steal it.
Yeah.
Hannah, where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you?
Yes. Well, I am everywhere and I'm nowhere. Basically, my name, Hannah, has no H on the end, so it's just H-A-N-N-A. And I'm pretty sure I got my YouTube. Sorry, I'm typing to double check. I got my YouTube account maybe like 8 years ago or something. And, you know, at the time I just signed up with whatever my handle that I was using at the time, which was Astrobic. So for ages I was like, oh, my God, I have to tell people that my YouTube URL is youtube.com/Astrobic. And everyone's like, what's Astrobic? And then I have to explain that my when I was in year nine, my handle was Biscuits and Tea. And my friend said, why don't you make your name Astrobic like Astro Boy? But it's Astrobic. Anyway, I recently discovered that I actually do have youtube.com/HannahSilva. So that was the end of that really long story. Silver is spelt like the color. And I am, where else am I? I'm on Twitter, Hannah Silva, and I'm on, I think I actually might be Astrobic on Instagram. I've been using that a lot more. And yeah. That's it.
Awesome. Good to have you on, Hannah. You're a legend.
Thank you so much for having me, Brad. You're a legend.
Come back
and
on.
Jacob, you're a legend.
Jacob, you're a legend. Yeah,
brain, legendary brain hands.
That's funny. Daryl, what about you, mate?
They can get me on Twitter at Learnscape, and as I say, I'm still on. I know it's an old joke that's probably wearing thin, but I'm still on Google Plus. Plus Daryl Hunt on Google Plus, you can find me there. But I haven't been posting as much there. I've been reading stuff, but not posting, so I feel a bit guilty. And, you can still find me there. So yeah, but on the Twitters at Learnscape.
Good stuff, mate. You got me on Twitter at Brad Ozden and Tech Webcast. Jake, what about you, mate? Your legendary Twitter handle?
Jazzbot32669 1Z.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Goody goody.
Okay, Jacob, say something funny at the end.
Alrighty then.
This week's Tech Web.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!